So we have this verse, this pasuk in Yechezkel, Revava Ketzema Chasada Nesatich V'Tahirbi V'Tigdali V'Tavoi Ba'adai Ba'adi Adoyim. It's referring to the Jewish people, how they start off so small and they grew like sproutlings in the field, and they got even bigger and bigger, and they became Adi Adayim. So there's different explanations that Rashi brings, and what is Adi Adayim? One of the explanations is that it refers to ornaments like a crown. So here he explains that these are two crowns of Zah, of Zer Anpin, as brought down, that it's really the two different levels of Netzach and Hoid of Arach Anpin. Arach Anpin being Chetzenius Akasar. So it's very lofty levels, which makes sense because a crown, a Keser, is connected to the Gali level of Keser. So it happens to be that Adi Adim refers to these levels specifically within Keser. And the beginning of the pasuk, when it says Semech Asada, it's an analogy that just like when you plant a seed, in order for it to grow, transform from a seed into a sproutling, it first needs to nullify itself, meaning to say that it needs to become completely disintegrated into the ground, and only then can it sprout. So it first has a yeshus, it's a seed. In order to become, there's no such thing as yesh meyesh. It has to be, has to grow specifically through nullifying itself entirely, becoming an ayin, and then it can become a plant and grass or whatever tree, in order for it that becomes something be'in aruch, completely incommensurate to what is before. So that's the mashal, that's the analogy. Now the nimshal is brought down in Eitz Chaim, the Rizal, is the unity of Zeh Anpin and Nikva, Zah and Malchus, that it's impossible to have this, I guess we have different levels of unity. So we have face-to-face, just like the Kruvim were face-to-face, but we have a concept where there is, you know, they're back-to-back. And in order for them to go from back-to-back to face-to-face is a process where one of the levels is called Nekuda Achas Tachas Yisoid, where there's like a dot under Yisoid is explained al pi Kabbalah to get to this level of unity. And how does this connect to the pasuk of sprouting, of seed sprouting? That in order to have this sprouting, you first have to go through a process of it becoming nothing. So I guess this level, it seems to be, the way I understand it, is that in order to get from back to back to face to face is this intermediate step which the expression in Kabbalah is Nekuda Tachas HaYesoid, that makes it, which is, I guess, corresponds to the level of Ayin, which makes it possible to reach this higher level of a real plant, that it becomes an existence in and of itself. Now, these two crowns that we refer to as Adi Adayim is this idea of drawing down from Shem Yud Kein to Zah, and from Zah into Malchus into Nukva, and all the way from Arach Anpin, from Chetzinius HaKeser into Zah, and then from Zah into Malchus. So it's the whole process. Now, Adi has three interpretations. And how do we actually explain what the word Adi mean? So, and Rashi brings down these interpretations. The first one is it's an ornament, like we just said, like it's a crown. We have a pasuk to prove that. Esed Yom Mihar Chayrev. From Hans Sinai, the Jewish people receive the crowns, which is Nasiv Nishma. Second explanation is Ad is eternity, Nitzchias. For example, the pasuk we have to prove that is it says Meshubach Mufar Adi Ad Shmei Hagod. Sorry, say that in the davening. We say that Adi Ad, it's forever. Hashem is infinitely great. So the word Adi or Ad means infinite. And the third explanation, which seems very counterintuitive, but we'll explain it, is it means limitation. It means Ad Kan, until here and no further. The proof text of that is a pasuk in Iyov, says Ad Poi Savai, until here you can come. Meaning it's drawing up limitation and boundaries. Now, the Alter Rebbe explains this very fascinating concept that really, these three explanations of Ad, it's really one concept. And they're all connected to the level of Keser. So how are we going to explain this? The first explanation that Adi is a kishut, is an ornament, that's simple to explain how that connects to the level of Keser. Because it's literally a crown. So you can't get more obvious than that. And the proof for that is, I guess, Gemara and Brachas, where it says, Tzadikim Yeshim V'atreseim Bereshayim, that I guess the last level, or Gan Eden, the Tzadikim sit with their crowns on their heads. So that's easy. Now, just like a crown is made out of precious stones, that's what makes a crown special, the fact that it has precious rubies and diamonds in them, etc. It's literally comes from the essence of daimim. We know that there's four levels of creation. Daimim is the lowest, which is inanimate matter, like earth. But what's the greatest expression of inanimate earth would be a diamond or a precious stone, because that is the most beautiful within the whole realm of inanimate matter. And that specifically, that is used to make a crown for the king. And our sages say that, I guess there's this, is it an angel called Sandal? The crown is created specifically through the tefillos of the Jewish people. That when we daven, the letters of their davening it's alluded to that they're like stones. Our davening is like little precious diamonds or rubies and stones that become refined through and polished, you know, in order to make a diamond beautiful. A diamond in the rough is, you know, it doesn't look so special. It just looks like a funny rock. But only when you shine it and polish it and cut it really nicely, that's specifically when the beauty is revealed. So, and the way we do that refinement is specifically through our Mesiras Nefesh. And that creates this level of Keser, of a crown, specifically through that. And similarly, when we fulfill mitzvahs, we have 613 mitzvahs that are biblical and 7 rabbinic. That adds up to the number 620. And what's special about the number 620 is it's the gematria for the word Keser. It's the same letters, which is the 620 pillars of light. And that obviously connects to the love of Keser. And as it comes down into practical physical action in the leather of the tefillin, or the wool of tzitzis, and it goes into the practical, into the most lowest elements of creation. So you have what's called Naot Tchilas and Besoifan, that really the highest level of Keser, which is really the end, it's really the end of or in Sofa. So it's really the highest level we can really even begin to imagine of Hashem. That really comes down into the lowest, most physical gashmis of creation. That's why specifically a crown is made out of daimen, out of rocks and earth, earthly inanimate matter. Now, this is what our sages say, that la'asid, la'asid lavo, tzaddikim yoshvim v'atreisim b'rashim. La'asid lavo, the tzaddikim will be wearing their crowns. Because in the Garden of Eden, we don't have this revelation, but we only have this level of nar yetzim eden, that there's a river that comes out from the Garden of Eden. Now, that represents Chachman Bina. And so in Gan Eden, this revelation only comes into the neshama. However, Lasi Lavo, and when we have the Tchis Misim, resurrection of the dead, we'll have this revelation not only just to the neshama, but even to the goof, to the body. As it says in Yeshaya, V'atzmei Secha Yachlitz, even in fact the physical bones of a person, that this godly revelation will penetrate. That, and the source of this godly revelation is even beyond Seder Shtashlos. It's able to come down even further down, because the higher something is in Seder Shtashlos, the further down it's able to penetrate. So obviously this highest level of Keser is able to penetrate down into the lowest of physicality, even our physical bodies. That's why it says, Va'varti ve'eretz Mitzrayim, ani v'lay malach, meaning specifically Hashem's essence is the one that redeems the Jewish people, which is the idea of Keser, it's the essence. That's the idea of wearing the crowns. Specifically, Las Lava will reveal that within the most physical physicality is really the greatest beauty of a crown, which is the highest level of godliness, which is the level of Keser. Now, the second explanation is that this is of the word Adi is Nitzchias, as eternality, right? We said Adiad, Shema Gadol. So the whole question is how does the fact that Ad means eternity, how does that connect to Keser? So he explains that, the Rebbe explains that Keser is an intermediary between Hashem's essence and the emanations. So meaning, just to use the Lashon Kabbalah, Atzmus or Ein Sof and the Netzalim. So the world, it's the bridge between Atzmus and Atzilus. So we have this essentially what it is Or Ein Sof is not just one level. Or Ein Sof is a big gradation of infinite levels ad infinitum. And the very end of that level, so to speak, is Keser. Which is ironic because it's kind of beyond comprehension, because the name Or Ein Sof is literally Ein Sof, but the end of that is Keser. And so really it is, so Keser, when you're tapping into Keser, you're tapping into infinitude, because Or Ein Sof is literally Ein Sof, there's no end. And then there's a very fascinating parentheses here that's beyond the scope of this shir, but it explains why is the Or Ein Sof called Or Ein Sof and not Or Ein Techila, a light that has no beginning, because if it's truly infinite, it would also have no beginning. So it explains that the Ma'ainim are welcome to look into that parentheses. Now, the third explanation of Ad is the idea of limitation specifically. So it's the kind of almost the opposite. So now the question is, how does this relate to Keser? The answer is because we are not, as human limited beings, are not able to grasp Keser. And we're actually moving this, we're now entering the third column, Amud Gimel of Daf Zayin, of the seventh Daf. Now, this level, with the fact that we're not able to grasp it, that is the whole reason why Chachma, which is the highest level that we are able to grasp, is called Reishis. It's the beginning of what we're able to appreciate and understand in a revealed form to some extent. So That's why it says yihi or, there should be light. That specifically when the lights turn on, meaning when we're able to, in a revealed way, understand something, that is chachma. But keser is actually more connected to the idea of darkness, which is means that we're not able to relate to it and grasp it in a practical way. As it says in the pasuk, yashas cheshech sisrei, that Hashem uses darkness as a veil to conceal himself. So that is referring to keser. And so that explains why the word ad, as it means limitations, is connected to keser, because we are limited into understanding and appreciating it. So it's very interesting. So as we have this paradox with the word ad, because on one hand, we are not able to appreciate it. It's limited. Our view of it is limited. So therefore there's limitation, but it's unlimited in the sense that what it is in its essence is completely Ein Sof. Now there's a beautiful parenthesis that is beyond the scope of this shir that explains, you know, the classic expressions, ad v'layad bichlal, that when you usually like you say until this point, it's like one until 10. Are you including the number 10 or you're not including 10? So the Hebrew expression is ad v'layad bichlal would be not including, and ad v'ad bichlal would be including. So he explains what that means, pnimis and yanim, as well as explaining and other places, like in the davening, where it says yishtabach shimcha lo ad malkeinu. What is that? What does that really mean? According to pnimis and yanim. So the ma'ayanim are welcome to be ma'ayan in that. Now, this is what it means, Mishkan Ha'idus, a tabernacle of testimony. When the first pasuk, the pasuk of the parsha of Pekudei, because the Mishkan represents this, specifically this, the second time it says the word Mishkan in the pasuk, it represents a unity of Abav and Ima, which means Chachma and Bina. And how does this unity happen? It's through a Hamshacha from Keser, which is obviously the level of Adi Adayim, which is the idea of Ad, which you explained just now previously, that all the three explanations of the word Ad and how it connects to Keser. And this is also the explanation of another pasuk we have in Tehillim that says Shisham alu shvatim shivte ka edus Yisrael. It says that the tribes of Israel ascended, and they're specifically tribes that are connected to the name of Hashem Yudke, and they act as a testimony for the Jewish people. So the Alter Rebbe explains that the 12 Shvatim, their source, Alpi Kabbalah, is in the Midos, the emotions within the world of Atzilus. Now, their source, it's funny because they say their source in the Midos of Atzilus, and the source of them, of their source, I guess, would be in Arach Anpin, which is Chitzinis HaKeser, which is the source for the Midas of Atzilus. And that's called Turei Chashecha. Now, I guess, rows or columns of darkness. And that's why it says, Shisham Alu Shvatim, that the tribes, the Shvatim, they ascended there. What is there, Sham, that they ascended there? They reached this high, lofty level of my nukvin, of the feminine waters, from Malchus. Feminine waters means Malchus. So they ascended from Malchus to their source, which is all the way up to Keser. So we, that full ascension from Malchus to Keser. And through this, draws down this level of Eidus Yisrael, of this testimony, becomes a testimony to Jewish people, a testimony meaning something that you're able to, revealing that which was concealed, and drawing down these two crowns that we spoke about before. Now, this is what it means in the continuation of the pasuk L'chaydus Hashem Havaya. That's the continuation of the verse in the Tehillim. So why specifically L'chaydus? And in order for this level of Keser, to reach this level of Keser, we can't relate to it on a level of intellect. So the idea of L'chaydus is the idea of recognition and admission and self-nullification and recognizing there's something beyond us that's beyond our hasag. So like, for example, like in the morning, we say Maida Ani, we're acknowledging something that's completely beyond our ability to grasp and internalize. So that's why we say, that's why specifically during the Moedim prayer of Shemona Esrei, it's brought down in the, I believe in the Zohar, that one who does not bow during Moedim will not come back during the resurrection of the dead. So it's a pretty intense statement that the Zohar makes here. Now, why is that? Because the whole idea of Tchias HaMesim is that through revealing the light of Keser that we explained earlier, and essentially elevating the feminine waters, which is Malchus, elevating Malchus to Keser, which happens through Tchias HaMesim, that is all through this a level of Hoda and Bittul. In order, so the idea of bowing and is the whole idea of self-nullification. I recognize that there's something completely beyond me that I can't understand and appreciate. So the next Ois Hey, chapter 5, explains the continuation of the verse in Parshas Pekudei, the first verse in Parshas Pekudei, which says, Asher Pukad al Pi Moshe, that the accountings of the Mishkan was specifically accounted for through Moshe. Now, it's brought down in the Pri Etz Chaim that the unity of Chachma and Bina, which is Kabbalistically called Abba and Ima, is that actually, that unity, it actually happens during the first pasuk, when we say the first pasuk of the Shema. When we say specifically, we say Shema Yisrael, Havaya Elokeinu. When we say the words Havaya Elokeinu, we are attesting to and creating that unity of that higher unity of Abba and Ima. Now, with the continuation of the Shema, when we say Vahavta, like that whole first paragraph, and you should love Hashem, that is actually the Kabbalistic expression here he uses is Tikkun Gulgalta Deza, which is, I guess, fixing the skull of the emotive attributes. So it seems like what he's saying here is that it's expanding what the Gugalta is. Keser is connected to the idea of Keser within the emotions. So starting with Chesed, is the first of the emotions, specifically drawing down from Keser to the emotions, and then all of the other emotive attributes, like Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, and so on, they all become one, and is generating this lower unity within the emotions themselves. Now, in the first pasuk of the Shema, we have the unity of Abba and Ima. The light of the love is not felt. We don't feel that the love yet because it's completely beyond emotions. All we have is bittul. We have the bittul of chachma. We have self-nullification within wisdom because it's completely beyond our ability to appreciate an emotional level. And that is just completely Einod Milvado, literally. And we don't have this idea. We don't have a reciprocal loving relationship at that point because it's just completely beyond their ability to even love. But only once that lofty unity takes place and is drawn down into the emotions, then we can say that love is even relevant. And that's when we get to the first paragraph of the Shema V'Ahavta, etc. Now we find this unity of Abba and Ima in the first pasuk of the Shema, that it's that is connected to the second half of the pasuk of the first pasuk of Pekudei, where it says Mishkan Ha'edus, Tabernacle of Testimony, that was Pukad al Pi Moshe, meaning that it was that this unity, the word Pukad or Pekudei, actually means counting, but also means unity. To become one with something, or intimacy. It can mean to become intimate, man, husband and wife coming together is all the same word. So that unity, that essentially this yichud, this unity of Chachman Bina, Abba and Ima, Yod and Ke, all the same terminology, this is specifically all through Moshe. Why? Why do we use the word Moshe? Because Moshe epitomizes this level, this idea of bittul, of self nullification. And when we say Vahavta, the continuation of the Shema, that is reminiscent and corresponding to the first half of the verse of the Ela Pekudei Mishkan. And why is that? Because the word Ela is the gematria of 36, which corresponds to 6 times 6. 6 is the number of emotional attributes. And so that's that corresponds to the Vav of Hashem's name. And HaMishkan is the Hey of Hashem's name. So essentially, we have essentially a reverse. The first half of the verse corresponds to the lower level of unity, of with connecting our emotions and expressing our emotions. And the second half of the verse of Pukad, of Pi Moshe, that's specifically the higher level of unity, which is only achieved through the bittul of Moshe. So now, what does the word Pukad mean? Very interestingly, there's no Vav in the word Pukad. It's just Pei Kuf Dalad. Pei Kuf Dalad, if you rearrange the letters, it actually spells the word doifik, which means to knock. Now, Kabbalistically, the word doifik corresponds to the extremities of the name of Havaya, Yekivavke. When you take Yekivavke and when you spell out each of the letters, and you spell out each of the letters specifically using the letter Yud to spell out the letters, you get the gematria of 72. That's called the Milui Ab of Shem Havaya. Now, specifically, those that are into gematria and math, when you add up the letters, specifically when you add up the yud, and then you take yud plus hey, and then take yud plus hey plus vav, plus yud plus hey plus vav plus hey, you actually end up with the gematria of 184, which is kuf pei dalad, which is specifically the same gematria as daifek, and the same gematria as pukad. So this idea of pukad is really connected to this very lofty level of Shem Ab, the Milui of Shem Ab of Shem Havaya, which is, I guess, invested in Chachma. Now, as it is written in the Tamei Mitzvahs in Parshas Vayera, that one person, the doifik, a knocking, illuminates Chachma. Abba, this level of Abba. And within it, it illuminates the Orient Self. And therefore, this idea is this like constant knocking going on. And this specifically coming from Chachma as it rests within the Orient Self. Now, this is all very Kabbalistic and not simple to understand, but this is what he's saying, that the idea of doifik, of knocking, essentially, maybe it's essentially connected to the vowels of a word. So in Lashon HaKodesh, we have the nekudais, we have a kamatz, a patach, a tsere, a segel, these different vowels that are underneath the letters to help us pronounce the words properly. That those Kabbalistically come from the level of chachma. And so that's the idea of doifik. Specifically, when one knocks with one's hand, it's literally expressing the acharaim da'aba, the extremities of chachma, as it is in Atzilus. Now, getting, if this gematria was not so simple, we're going to take it up a notch. Now, if you do the same mathematical gematria work that we did with the word Shem Havaya, with the Milui, the Yud of the Yud Milui, if you do the same thing with the name, there's another name of Hashem called Ekya, which is Aleph, He, Yud, He. Essentially, you end up with the gematria of 161, Kuf Samach Aleph. Now, what's pretty amazing is when you add Daifik or Pukad, which is 184, with the gematria of the Milui of Ekya, which is 161. So 161 plus 184 ends up to be the same gematria as none other than Moshe. The name of Moshe equals that gematria. So this explains, this is because Moshe is this fusion of Pnimius of Bina and the Acharaim of Abba. So, so essentially the external aspect of Chachma and the internal aspect of Bina, that fusion is essentially the Yichud of Abba and Ima, which happens through the power of Moshe, which is the idea of Betel. And we're going to explain in physicality that blood is specifically comes from the level of Bina, because blood enlivens and brings life to all the limbs of the body. And when you take the gematria of Ekya, when you add up in succession each of the letters, but including the letters preceding it, without the Milui, you end up with the gematria of Dam, which is blood, 44, which is pretty cool. So you see how Bina is connected to blood. However, the external acharaim of Abba, the externality of Chachma, encloses itself within Pnimius of Bina. And that's the whole idea of knocking. So essentially what you have is the external knocking, the acharaim of Abba of Doifik, that's kind of when a person knocks on their chest or knocks in an external way with their hand. But the Pnimius of Bina, that Doifik is the idea of the heart beating. That the beating heart is also the same word Doifik. That and you have this very fascinating idea, even though Bina is very much connected to Gevura, because it's in the left side of the Kabbalistic chart. There's a big element where it's really much connected to chesed, because very large percentage, the vast, vast majority of blood is actually water. So if that's the case, water is the idea of chesed. So, and water is what you know, what gives life to everything. So blood really gives life to everything. So it's very much intertwined with chesed. And that's why when you unite the achraim of Abba and the pnimius of Bina, this is Yichud Ilah, which brings about the expression of the midas, and the first of the midas being chesed. And that's the idea of Adam, man, is Aleph Dam, which is the idea of Hashem's Aluf Shalom within the blood. Hashem's presence within the blood is man and the godliness in the blood. And this whole idea is expressed in the verse Asher Pukad al Pimosha, based on everything I explained. Now, to get practical in our Avodas Hashem, this level of Asher Pukad is the idea that there will be this level of Ratzav Ashuv. Ratzav Ashuv, the best way to explain the void of Ratzav Ashuv is ascending and descending, that we are constantly trying to gain inspiration, come cleave to Hashem. At the same time, we have to remember that the whole purpose of cleaving to Hashem is to return back here and bring that energy and inspiration down here in this world. So specifically from the levels of Gvura within Bina, which is the idea of blood, it goes, we see this idea because it comes, the blood, it goes from the heart to all of the limbs, and then it comes back to the heart, and then it gets re-oxygenated and then goes back into the limbs to bring the oxygen, then goes back into the heart. So you see this constant, never-ending cycle of ruts of Ashuv, essentially, within the human body. And Moshe, we see that Ashpukad Alpi Moshe specifically, that the love of Moshe, which is the Chraim of Abba, and Pnimis of Iba united, Ima united, so this unity of Abba and Ima, of Chachman Bina, we see the bittul of Moshe. And we have a parenthesis that, quite long parenthesis that analyzes this idea of knocking of Daifik and Daifik Bayad, knocking with your hands and knocking within your heart, the beating of one's heart, how it's it explains different concepts within that at greater length. Now moving on past the parentheses, we are now deeper into the first column of Daf Ches of page 8, that the whole Seder Avodah that our sages enacted was specifically in our davening that we should say Pesukei Dezimra first. And then, only then we should say Kriyat Shema. So why should we do that first? I mean, I would think that first you would have this lofty unity that you do from Shema, which creates the inspiration of the Havta. No, you first have the Pesukei Dezimra because you need to create the inspiration and the emotional attachment and excitement specifically prior to even reaching this high, lofty unity that is achieved through Kriyat Shema. And that's why the unity that's of the higher level of unity that's expressed in the verse of Parshas Pekudei is actually the second half of the verse. And only the first half of the verse represents the lower unity, because you first have to have that inspiration of Pesukei Dezimra, and only then you can create the unity of Yud-Kei, of Kriyat Shema. And it specifically had to be the service of the Levites, because that is relevant to the level of Moshe, which is this same concept as of Bittul, of Moshe and the Levites having that same level of nullification, self-nullification to Hashem. That we see above, this unity of Abba and Ima, of Chachma and Bina, is much greater, and not able, that the Jewish people are not able to reach it. And that's why we have to do Pesukah de Zimra in order to reach that higher level and generate that bittul. And then we can reach the Shema. And the idea specifically is Pesukah de Zimra, song, verses of song. Now, song, who were the people that sung in the Beis HaMikdash? It was the Levim. So it all makes sense. It's all connected. Specifically through the Levim, we can reach this level of Asher Pukad Al Pi Moshe. And that's how they spiritually carried the Mishkan. They were involved in carrying the Mishkan, which was accompanied by their song. And this whole concept is that above, similarly above, we have these supernal angels called Chayos that metaphorically or spiritually carry Hashem's throne. Now, this is done with, it's, we say in the davening, that it's Misnasim Barash Gadol, that they carry Hashem's throne with a lot of noise. What is that noise? That would almost be similar, akin to the singing of the Levi, the Levites. And that's a hispilus, that's a certain ecstasy, an emotional expression that specifically through that, it makes it possible to lift the throne, Hashem's throne, which is Hashem's Shekhinah. And that's the same idea of the singing of the Levim, that they had this element of Ratzav Ashuv. And through the Ratzav Ashuv, this ascension and descension, continual cycle, that they were able to carry the Mishkan on a physical level, but also on a very much spiritual level. And to lift it up, lift up this level, this lower unity of Zeran Pin and Nukva, to connect it with this higher level of unity, which represented by Mishkan Eidos, which is the unity of Abba and Ima, which was the avoda that the Levim had to do. Now, similarly, with regards to man, through Pesukah de Zimra, we, by us doing a Pesukah de Zimra, we're essentially doing the avoda of the Levim. As we say in Tehillim, Reimim Mois Kael Bigreinam, that through our throats, through our song, and through our throats, we elevate God's Shekhinah, divine presence. And through this, we push away any concealment of the animal soul. And this concept, we are able to reveal the inner dimensions of our hearts. And that is makes us a vessel, a proper vessel to, and a self-nullified vessel to come to this level of the first verse of the Shema with complete Mesiras Nefesh and saying Hashem's name and saying that Hashem is Echad, absolute unity, to reveal this unity, this higher level of unity. And we find that in our Avoda, we have Pesukah de Zimra to elevate Yechud HaTata, this lower level of unity, and to, I guess, elevate it, which is the idea of Ela Pekudei Mishkan, and unite it with Hashem in the higher level of unity, which we represented by Mishkan Eidos, which is connected to the first pasuk of Shema, and that is also connected to the pasuk in the part of the Tehillim where it says Shasham al Shvatim Shivtei Ka, and this elevation begins from the level of Shvatim. Specifically, the Shvatim ascended without the Shivtei Ka, meaning that would be the lower level of unity, the Yechud HaTata, and then the Shivtei Ka come in and bring about that higher level of unity, as it is known that, I guess, there is an analogy of 12 cows, 12 bakar, that within the world of Bria, that they cause a similar elevation and process. And their elevation makes it possible to reach this higher unity of Shivdeka, which is the unity of Abanima, which is the level of Eidus Yisrael, which is the idea of Mishkan Eidus. So essentially that last paragraph, which we explained, is summarizes everything we spoke about in the context of the various psukim that we brought down. The first pasuk being the first pasuk of the parsha El Pekude Mishkan, and then also the pasuk in Tehillim of Shoshama Shvatim, and it all in the makes sense Alpi Chassidus and Kabbalah, and also the pasuk of Krishma and the subsequent psukim of Vehavta, that we draw down this lofty light from above to below, from Abba and Ima into Zun, and this is the explanation of Eidus Yisrael. We draw down this level of Eidus, of testimony to the Jewish people, which is Zah. And as it is written, we say, it's specifically written that in the Pri Etz Chaim, that the whole idea of Shema is to draw down the intellect, the intellectual unity, which is this higher level of unity of Abba and Ima, which is these two crowns, so to speak, and cause it to be enclosed in the lower level of unity, which is the level of the unity of Zerah and Pinyan Nukva. And we have to finish off the daf. Now we're already deep into the second column of daf 8. But to finish this daf, there's a beautiful parenthesis which explains the concept, very powerful, that the ayin and the dalet of the Shema are enlarged, which make the let word aid. But the words, the letters that aren't enlarged of the word Shema and the word echad is shin, mem, aleph, ches, which when you rearrange it, it spells the word esmach. So specifically through our joy, we are able to generate that bittel, self-notification, which makes it possible for us to draw down this level of Ein Sof. Look further in the parentheses over there.